Welcome to the City Changers podcast. I'm your host, Carl. Tea or coffee? Bike or bus? Now or later? It's estimated that we make over 35,000 conscious decisions every day. But the fact is, not all decisions are created equal. Choosing chocolate over banana cream isn't going to significantly change your future. Deciding to apply for that job or move in with your partner might. And then there are those decisions that affect not just us, but tens, thousands, or potentially millions of people. The decisions cities make every day, for example. In a democracy, we all like to think we have a say in the way these decisions are made, that the people we vote to represent us are making choices that also represent our needs. But does it always work this way? Well, no, at least not as often as we'd like. And that goes for democracies everywhere.
A lot of people are thinking, well, looking at democracy in Denmark, democracy is perfect. But even in the Nordic region, we had the same problem.
This is Johan
Gerstorff
from Copenhagen. The problem Johan is pointing to is growing dissatisfaction with the way democracy works at all levels of government. For many people, political decisions simply don't reflect their interests or, more importantly, the interests of their community or society, which raises a question. If not theirs, then whose? At least in Denmark, Johan says civic participation at the city level is often driven by the frustrated citizens, the ones with time, money, and motivation to show up at town hall meetings, the ones with the loudest voices.
You know, typical white men like me, well-educated, often a little more grey hair on the top of the head than me, but it's always the same.
It's not that the frustrated citizens don't deserve a seat at the table, but if they account for the majority of the guests, then it stands that there are plenty of others who aren't on the list or even in the room, which, at least in Johan's experience, has resulted in a vicious circle.
The politicians think, well, citizens, they are always frustrated, they are mad. And on the other end of that, the citizens feeling that the politicians, they never hear, they never take our perspective into the decision making.
The stakes might be lower when it comes to approving a new housing development, for example. But for the bigger calls, the ones that can affect millions of people, an unrepresentative decision, or one that appears to be unrepresentative, can be disastrous. In 2018, politicians in Denmark got a taste of just how high the stakes can be.
Lynetteholm.
That name probably won't mean much to those outside of Scandinavia, but for Danes, and particularly those living in Copenhagen, it's enough to draw an instant reaction. Lynetteholm is an ambitious project to build a giant artificial island off the coast of Copenhagen.
Between Denmark and Sweden.
And ambitious is the word. The original justification for the project was to protect the capital from flooding, the threat of which is increasing with rising sea levels. But it would also be the site for a new residential district with an estimated 35,000 homes to be built there by 2070. The problem was that the announcement of the approved project was the first many Copenhageners had heard about it.
One part was like, wow, they're going to build a new island. I didn't know I need an island, but I think that was kind of, you know, a great idea. And then there was the other half of the city was like, I didn't know that we should have an island. And if we are looking a little more into it, how about the environment, the climate, the consequences on the infrastructure of the city? Maybe you should involve us next time you're having these thoughts, because how about this and that and etc.
Johan says division over the island quickly turned into an intractable problem.
You cannot have a dinner with the family in Copenhagen without some discussion around the dinner table about who's actually either for or against this Lynetteholm. And it was becoming this big conflict that we could not solve anything else, even a kind of small problem.
But intractable problems and difficult decisions just happen to be Johan's expertise. Johan works for We Do Democracy, a Danish consulting group focused on implementing and strengthening democratic processes.
Looking into innovation of democracy, how to bring in new methods and how to make decisions on a city scale, but also in all the processes where we are going to make collaborative decisions on issues together.
One of those methods is the Citizens' Assembly, which isn't so new at all. In fact, the idea goes back to ancient Greece. At its most basic, a citizens' assembly is a group of everyday people brought together to deliberate over a particular question or issue and try and reach a consensus about it. Participants are chosen by lottery to ensure a representative group that reflects the makeup of the actual citizenry.
In age, in gender, in education, in life experience. So we actually have a kind of a mini public.
Together, they're given the time to learn about a particular issue, hear from experts, request information where there are gaps, and then come up with recommendations for decision makers. Crucially, the assembly doesn't make the decision. That's up to the elected officials.
But they're kind of, giving a better ground for taking those big decisions.
Citizens' assemblies have been used around the world to tackle issues as varied as same-sex marriage, abortion, and climate change policy. Johan and We Do Democracy have facilitated multiple on both the local and national level, including on sustainable consumption policy and the use of public space in the inner city. But an assembly on the issue of Lynetteholm would be a different proposition. After all, the decision had already been made. Still, Johan felt that something needed to be done.
If it didn't, the conflict would just grow bigger and bigger and bigger.
What they eventually proposed to the city was a citizens' assembly with a twist. It would be a two-phase approach. In the first, the assembly would do the deliberation that should have occurred before the project was given the green light, a kind of retrospective assembly. In the second phase, however, it'd be a different question. What now?
So said, well, you took this decision on behalf of everybody without talking to the citizen. How should we, from now on, work with this project? And also, in the future, if we ever are going to make big ideas on behalf of the city, how should we do it?
Eventually, 66 residents of Greater Copenhagen, chosen to reflect the city's demographics, were recruited for the assembly, which lasted for 10 days.
So, like in all other citizen assembly, you're hearing perspective all around in the landscape, from experts, from interest groups, from NGOs, from other citizens.
In September 2022, the assembly handed its recommendations to the city of Copenhagen, and there were some big surprises inside. The biggest was that while there were differences of opinion on the size and character of the island, an overwhelming majority of the members believed that building it was actually a good idea. It was the lack of public consultation about such a big project, too little too late, that made having an open, honest conversation about the issue so problematic. Although there was consensus about the why question, the assembly was still divided over the how, including the housing development, environmental impacts, and transport connections to the island. But Johan says whether the group got to yes or no shouldn't be the way we measure success. This assembly was about having the opportunity to discuss the nuances in between.
And I think that is very crucial when a conflict is on that level. The funny thing was that almost all citizens shifted their belief or attitude to the project during this citizen assembly. Some moved from being advocates for Lynetteholm to being more critical in relation to the environment, the climate, the protection of biodiversity at the coastline of Copenhagen. Other members were going from very critical to said, well, actually it's a good idea to do this flood protection and bring in the soil. So all citizens in the citizen assembly move from one perspective to another perspective. And that is kind of interesting to see that if you have the time, if you have the expert, if you have kind of, the room to discuss it, then can all move.
It's safe to say that kind of movement isn't exactly a character of the political debate today, nor the way citizens interact with their governments. But that's not just on the politicians. In a citizens' assembly, the participants have to think differently about their civic responsibility.
In a typical town hall meeting, you are participating in the role of me, living in that specific street with this specific problem. I'm coming here to bring this specific problem to you as a politician, and then I would like you to kind of fix it for me. When we start up a citizen assembly, it's always, thank you for being here. It's such a privilege to have you. But to be very frank, it's not you that I'm interested in. It's actually you on behalf of this specific age and gender and life experience, 10,000 other citizens of Copenhagen match your profile. So you have to step up on behalf of those Copenhagens who didn't win this lottery that you did.
What the Assembly did come to consensus about were its recommendations for the city to move forward with the project. Recommendation number one is that the city commit to better civic engagement and democratic governance around Lynetteholm, which included a call for a permanent citizens' assembly for the duration of the project. And Copenhagen has actually gone a step further. It now plans to trial a permanent citizens' assembly, which would go beyond questions about a specific project or decision to questions about the big issues. And the issues, as we all know, are multitude. As the world becomes more and more urban, cities are at the forefront of some of the most urgent challenges of our times, from climate change to human rights.
Tough challenges that don't have clear answers and can't just be answered by technical advice and guidance and not just answered by politicians or people within positions of power in general.
This is James McDonald Nelson,
project leader for urban design and planning at Democracy Next.
James believes that citizens' assemblies could be the shot in the arm our democracy needs to tackle not just these broader questions, but also the urban planning decisions cities make every day.
The way that we actually make decisions about those cities needs an update in a lot of ways. We really need to tap into that that collective intelligence, which includes people's lived experiences, people who are actually from a place and have a really a stake in how the future of their physical environment is shaped into the future.
His latest project is called Democratizing Urban Planning, and it's about integrating citizens' assemblies into urban planning and local decision-making in an ongoing way. The project began as a task force comprising experts who could speak to participatory approaches from all over the world.
International experts and practitioners from the fields of deliberative democracy, political science, law, city planning, architecture, urbanism, etc.
The group were asked to consider the challenges facing cities and what needed to change at the systemic level to incorporate participative decision making. In short, how to make citizen participation the norm rather than the exception. Out of these discussions, Democracy Next has since launched a paper setting out a series of proposals for cities to do exactly that.
A guide to how a citizens' assembly could actually be designed, what kind of challenges it can address, and then also refer to many examples of how assemblies have already been used across the world for these particular issues.
Right now, James and his team are in the process of selecting three partner cities with which they can test their ideas in a real-world context.
It's trying to plant those initial seeds. So our intention is actually to work directly with them to understand their particular context and challenges that they're facing and design a model for how a citizens' assembly can either work on a systemic level and be embedded in an ongoing way into the urban planning decision-making processes, or can be used as a one-off assembly to then learn from that and institutionalizing that assembly later on.
Citizens' assemblies aren't without their critics. In March 2024, Irish voters rejected constitutional changes recommended by a citizens' assembly on gender equality, although many observers pointed out that the language the government used was quite different to that of the assembly's recommendations. What's clear is the need for buy-in from cities, not just from the political leadership either, but also the citizens, and not just into the concept of assemblies, but other participative approaches too.
It's still extremely valuable to have those wider participation strategies that can either feed directly into the assembly as evidence, or can be used as a way of disseminating initial recommendations or draft recommendations from the assembly itself to the wider public. It's why we've proposed this as an ecosystem of assemblies mixed with the participation strategies that have direct relationships with it.
Whether citizens' assemblies are the solution to flagging trust in democratic processes, the decision we're facing now is a stark one. Do we continue with the status quo, or do we change? For Johan, at least, the answer is clear.
If you have a company saying that, well, we had this good strategy for 150 years ago, and we haven't done a thing with it, well, then you're out of business. And in some way, we are treating democracy as something our grandparents designed, and we could not touch it because it's a holy thing, but we have to kind of be a part of it and redevelop the democracy in order to actually rescue democracy in the future.
That's all for this episode of the City Changers podcast. A big thank you to all our guests. This podcast is an Urban Future production. It's written and produced by Mariano Trevino. I've been Carl Dickinson. Thanks for listening.